If you're as frustrated as I am about the whole transgender foolishness and about males pretending to be females, pushing their way on through political correctness to female athletic teams in high school in particular, this broadcast is for you. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. My guest by telephone line from Orange County, California, is Brad Dacus. He's the president of the Pacific Justice Institute. Brad, you have a real passion for fighting for the God-given design of male or female and not allowing all of these leftist policies, in particular, put athletic girls on the sidelines and robbing them of possible scholarships and opportunities, right?
Oh, you're right, Adam. It's a terrible injustice for young women who want to have a fair shake. The Civil Rights Act was amended to ensure that females would have the same equal opportunity to compete in sports athletics as males. That's why it was created. And yet we see attempts by radicals who are trying to subvert these rights and opportunities by allowing males biologically having a major advantage to compete against females for scholarships, awards, et cetera. It's a terrible injustice, particularly those who were in favor of civil rights just not that long ago for equal treatment of women.
Even our six-year-old children recognize at first blush that a boy running against a girl, even though they might be of the same age, is not fair because the boy has a physiological advantage over the girl. The fact that the adults can't understand that, or that their leftist agenda trumps common sense, reveals where we are today.
It's nonsensical. It's delusional. Our children understand it from a very young age. You know, at 18 months, a child understands his or her gender identity. It's very clear. Do they look like mommy or do they look like daddy? And yet our adults are trying to confuse things and in so doing, trouncing on rights and equality of opportunity in the process. It's a terrible, terrible direction for those who appreciate true civil rights and equality of opportunity.
Just recently, on May 26th, one of your staff attorneys at the Pacific Justice Institute, Ray Hackey, testified before the Wisconsin legislature about two bills, AB 195 and AB 196. What specifically did these bills outline?
These bills do a couple things. First, it deals with collegiate sport and athletic competition. It basically says that young men in college cannot compete in women's sports. They have to compete in male sports. That's based upon what is their birth certificate, say, at birth. It's very straightforward. It's easy to understand, and it's very equitable. Men have different bone structure, different muscular form. They have 10 times the testosterone. The idea that them just perceiving themselves at that point in time of being the opposite sex in no way negates this inherent major biological advantage.
As we've said on The Worldview in 5 Minutes and Generations many times, it doesn't matter how many cross-gender hormones you take or what mutilating surgeries you sign up for, you're still going to be the very sex that God designed you to be from the moment of conception. There's just no two ways around it.
Every single cell in the human body is unanimous as to what the gender is. There's no disagreement. No one has a 60% female cells and 40% say they're males. No, it's unanimous. So it's very conclusive, indisputable. And that's why I think so many young women are so appalled at having to compete, like in, for example, in Massachusetts, young women competing for college scholarship against a man who is very muscular and it was wrestling. It's just unthinkable that a female would have to compete against males in wrestling.
In terms of these two bills in the Wisconsin legislature, AB 195 would classify college athletic teams as male, female, or co-ed. AB 196 would do the exact same thing for Wisconsin public schools. But in both cases, Brad Dacus, these bills in Wisconsin that your attorney Ray Hackey just testified in favor of would prohibit males pretending to be females from competing on teams designated for biological women, correct?
Absolutely correct.
I know that Ray Hackey has already testified before legislatures in North Dakota, South Dakota, Missouri, Montana, as well as Wisconsin, either in person or via video conferencing, and has even advised lawmakers in Arkansas, Hawaii, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and West Virginia concerning these women's sports bills. So our generation's listeners in those states should be encouraged. Generally speaking, I would think that the legislatures in those states are either majority Republican or majority conservative.
Correct. Those states have Republican majorities in their legislatures. They don't always have Republican governors, like Wisconsin, for example, does not have a Republican governor. And he has hinted that he will likely veto this legislation. We have yet to see what he's actually going to do. The people of Wisconsin are pretty clear that they want equality of opportunity and fairness for both sexes. They can't achieve that without this legislation based upon these new radical policies that are steamrolling through our universities and our public schools throughout the nation.
If you would like to call Democrat Governor Tony Evers in Wisconsin to urge him to support AB 195 and AB 196 that would say that men compete with men and women compete with women in both college and high school sports, let me give you his direct dial phone number. The number to call is 608-266-1212 in Madison. That's 608-266-1212. Please urge Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat, to support these two common sense bills, AB 195 and AB 196. Hawaii, of course, is probably the exception. They're run by Democrats in both houses.
Yes, but I think it's really telling as to how broad the objection is to these new policies threatening the rights of females with regard to sports competitions. It's really difficult for someone to say that they're for women's rights and be opposed to these bills that we at Pacific Justice Institute have been supporting and have actually even helped construct for a number of states. At the end of the day, whether a parent is from the left or from the right, they want what's fair for their daughter, especially if their daughter's involved in competition and wants an equal shot at scholarships and recognition.
My guest is Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute, on the line from Orange County, California, on this edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. When we come back, we'll talk more about the passage of Title IX in 1972 and what it means for women's sports today in light of all this transgender foolishness. Stick around.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. Continuing our conversation now with Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute, on the line from Orange County, California. Some good news in Wisconsin. One of his staff attorneys, Ray Hackey, just testified May 26th in favor of two bills that would basically say boys compete with boys, girls compete with girls in both high school and college sports. With AB 195 and AB 196, we gave out the telephone number for Wisconsin Democrat Governor Tony Evers. And we've also touched on how Ray Hackey has testified in North Dakota, South Dakota, Missouri, and Montana via either video conferencing or in person. And he's advised lawmakers in Arkansas, Hawaii, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and West Virginia, all who are concerned that women's sports remains women's sports and that someone pretending to be a woman should not be allowed to compete with women because it's plain just not fair. Now, Ray Hackey certainly brings a lot of interesting background to his work with you. Not only is he a constitutional attorney, but he's covered women's sports as a journalist, and he's coached his daughter in softball and basketball.
That's right. It really comes close to home with Ray. He heads up the Office for Pacific Justice Institute, you know, there in Salem, Oregon. He does have a daughter who's in athletic competition, and he happens to live in a state that is embracing these new policies that bring inequality to female competition. Ray has written a very powerful journal article on this and has testified in a number of states and assisted a number of states in the actual language and composition of such legislation to protect women and female sports.
So let's get to Title IX and its passage in 1972. What did it say at the time, and how is it being reinterpreted now?
Title IX came about because at the time, males would compete in sports. There'd be one basketball team for the high school, one football team, one baseball team. The girls could compete if they wanted to. They could try out for the football team, the basketball team, the baseball team, but they wouldn't get on the team usually. The boys had such an advantage that girls simply just did not have the same opportunity for obvious reasons. They biologically are not the same and have a major handicap in that regard when compared with males. So the legislature looked at the situation and said, hey, you know, this isn't right. Girls have the same opportunity to be able to athletically compete as boys.
What did Title IX do to help women in terms of participation in athletic competition?
Title IX mandates that universities and high schools maintain equal opportunity for females to compete in athletic competition by creating female teams along with having the existing male teams competing among males. By creating this distinction, there was to be equality of opportunity and not an inherent disadvantage simply because of one's gender and the lower testosterone, etc.
So now the homosexual transgender advocates have attempted to shoehorn their agenda into Title IX by demanding that transgender individuals, boys pretending to be girls, can get access to the girls' team because they're claiming to be a girl and they should be recognized officially as a girl because they see themselves as a girl, and simply because they're making stuff up out of whole cloth, we're all supposed to jump.
Correct. I call this the no clothes doctrine.
We're all supposed to pretend that the emperor has no clothes.
In reality, we all know what the truth is, that this is a male with inherent biological advantages in terms of athletic competition over the female. That in itself creates inequality of opportunity. People may say, well, okay, so he's joining the girls' basketball team. You know, the girls are still able to compete. Well, wait a minute. When he joins that basketball team, that means that's a position that a female is not going to be able to occupy. So even when you're talking about team sports and one just joining the team, they join the team with a cost to someone else who is disadvantaged because of the biological advantage of the male who's calling themselves a female. Whether you're talking about team sports or individual sports, it's inequality of opportunity and a clear violation of the Civil Rights Act as amended in 1972.
Brad Dacus, you have stated something, and I want to read the quote. I think it's fascinating. Have you elaborate on it? You're saying that, quote, bills like Wisconsin's do not deny transgender athletes the opportunity to compete in interscholastic sports. Transgender athletes are demanding to dictate the terms on which they can compete. While transgender people deserve compassion and understanding, their so-called rights should not be advanced at the expense of the rights of biological women. The time has come to draw the line, and sports is the place to draw it, end quote. So where specifically are you saying that a transgender athlete should be allowed to participate? As a male, even though he is pretending to be a woman, he should still participate on the men's team, correct?
Correct. Just logically, the transgender person who is a biological male should have no difficulty competing with males on male teams.
That person is still a male, even though he might be taking estrogen or even though he might have had some kind of bizarre breast augmentation. He should still be competing with males and should be equally as able to compete with them because he's male.
Exactly. He has the brain of a male. He has the same skeletal structure as a male and muscle advantage as a male. So you know, the fact he takes some hormone shots and grows breasts, as far as competition is concerned, athletic competition, the only equitable, fair way of dealing with this is to say you're going to compete among males because you have the advantage of a male, unlike a true female. That should be something that they should be able to understand and accept as being fair and equitable. unless there's someone who's simply trying to take advantage of the opportunity to unfairly compete and win a scholarship against the opposite gender who has an inherent disadvantage. Anyone who looks at this fairly equitably should come to the same conclusion that such males should be competing with males. It's only the right thing to do, and it makes total sense.
As a Christian, we go back to the foundational principle that God created everyone to be either a boy or to be a girl. And that's the Christian foundational principle in all of this, isn't it?
You're right. It really is. And also the basic concept of just fairness.
Brad Dacus, thanks so much for your time today on Generations Radio.
You got it. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. Would love to get your feedback about today's broadcast. Send that to adam@theworldview.com. That's adam@theworldview.com as we lay down a vision for the next generation.